Hello and welcome to the Evil Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website EvilSurrealResolution.com. I'm your host, Evil Rob, and I will kick your ass in softball. Hey, get the fuck out of here, Evil Rob. No one invited you. Oh, God. Thank God he's gone. I fucking hate that guy. Anyway, I'm regular, not Evil Rob, and with me I have...
Happy birthday, Sonic. You get Nickelodeon cameos for the party with Joker and Ichiban and Hatsune Miku now because reasons.
And?
Whose made outfit is this?
I don't know. Whose could it possibly be? It's a mystery.
Is it just a Rob?
No, it isn't. What are you talking about? That doesn't say Rob. That says an evil Rob. You keep that shit over there to yourself. I am not putting on the maid outfit again. Thank God there was no photos the first time.
Comedy.
Are you sure?
I am very sure. If you don't believe me, don't answer the door in the next 5 minutes. I told you I'm not putting it on again. But this isn't a podcast about putting on maid dresses.
Yeah. It never will be.
Listen, all it takes is a sponsorship or something, and like, look, it pays the bills. But yeah, this is this is our good old Decibel Boost podcast, episode 397. So how the fuck is everyone doing? I know we skipped a week.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's been kind of slow for the past little while. Not a lot of stuff has happened in the music world, whereas in everything else, you know, it is getting kind of hot outside. I think I just need to go and do something real quick just to, you know, I just gotta do something real quick.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got my Switch 2. Yay. That's a good thing.
I take what I can get at this point.
Yeah, yeah. And I've enjoyed it. I've also been dying at my work because, well, we just keep getting busy. We keep picking up stuff. But it's okay because for all the hard work that we do, for our efforts, we're getting this week a bonus of $100.
That's bullshit.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like 6 hours of work. Pre-tax, so it'll be even less. I should do what some people have just advised me to do. Just lie on my resume to get an IT job. I know how to type. I know how to use Microsoft Office. That's all you need.
Yeah. Sometimes I think I'd be farther along in life if I was more comfortable lying about things.
Yeah. Keep this in mind, kids. Lying is good. Don't quote us on that.
Yeah, we're not professionals. We're just, you know, people who make fun of Greta Van Fleet on the internet. And also Benson Boone. He can also catch hands.
Oh, God, that reminds me. Why do the pop charts just suck right now?
Yeah.
Like, I saw the new Todd in the Shadows pop song review. That is the newest one he's done since last summer. It's been 10 months.
Yeah.
We are in a serious, serious pop drought, and all we're getting is just album trolling and crappy chamber pop CCM music. Oh no, it's bad. Like, you know what's bad? When we are rooting for Lorde and Sabrina Carpenter to liven things up. I'm not even a big fan of Sabrina Carpenter, nor am I a hater. I'm just looking at her like, just give us something of substance, please. Please, please.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to somebody else. We'll look at that later on.
Yeah. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Let's see, the past 2 weeks has been either rain or heat. It's either pouring down lots and lots of rain, or recently, it's just gotten hot. Well, hotter, it's summer. I mean, it's officially summer now, so now it's like, they can experience weather even 100 degrees or more, meaning just stay in the house. Don't go anywhere, just stay in the house. Get your AC on, get a fan on, try and get as much air as possible. I say open a window, but there might be like hot air coming there. Maybe do it when it's dark. When it's dark out, put the window in your fan and then let it blow out. I don't know, just do that shit.
Yeah. Friendly reminder, check your air filters, check your AC units. If they freeze, just unfreeze them. And if they don't work, then call somebody.
And if you have an old fan, like, try and clean that. Because, yeah. One, it blows better when it's clean. Because when it's clean, like, I know I've put that before. It's like, oh, this feels so much better now. Yes, let's see.
And make sure they spin counterclockwise. That's how it passes down all the cool air.
Other than that, it's really not much been happening, just the usual bullshit and all that stuff. And Episode 5 came out, and okay, there's a lot of things to know about Jackson Ragatha. And also, we get somewhere, but what if it was an anime?
Yeah, Amazing Digital Circus and Japan have a good relationship with each other. Japan gets all the cool stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, as for me, well, a handful of things. First off, I also finally picked up my order of a Switch 2, so I have been playing some Mario Kart World, which, fun fact, is the first time since the N64 that I have owned and played a Mario Kart game at great length. I've tried some of the others here and there, but I never had a copy sitting on the shelf for myself. I've only played a little bit of Mario Kart 8, because I am not the most proficient carter of Marios. But hey, I get to race as a cow on a motorcycle, and it makes me happy. Also, I went out to the movies with my mom. We saw the new Pixar film, Elio, which was honestly pretty sweet. You know, super charming story, lots of really bright animation and fun visual designs and stuff. Definitely some pretty damn good Pixar stuff. It does kind of suck that its box office opening was kind of low. Keep in mind, though, the past couple Pixar movies did open kind of low, like Elemental, for example, but that ended up doing big business in the long run. So, we'll see what happens.
So that way people keep screaming. We need original content, even though y'all don't often see the shit. And don't just say, it may not be that good. You don't know it. It could be.
I saw it. I can confirm it's pretty good. Not sure where it ranks in the grand scheme of Pixar, because I'm actually still missing a few movies. But honestly, I liked it enough to recommend seeing it in a theater, so that counts for something. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, for some reason, I was looking for something to watch, and I decided, fuck it. And I loaded up the first season of Solo Leveling. I'm about halfway through. At the exact moment where he suddenly got super buff and muscular in the hospital and all the nurses were craving his aura, I think I officially stopped being able to take it seriously. And I'm only halfway through season one.
Marabba's aura forming. Don't you get it? It's what makes him so awesome. Don't you look at it?
What you're telling me is this show needed a lot more full hardcore sex scenes.
I mean, sure, why not? Just give me anything. To whoever originally conceived this story, do you not have any hobbies outside of like progress gatekept RPGs and other manhwa? Like nothing? Like you don't have an interest in fucking blacksmithing or agriculture or scaring the host, just something, just any other hobby that would make your story feel less like a parody of itself. Oh god, this is gonna suck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I don't even think I've heard characters mention Aura yet. Like, Aura farming? More like, this fan base needs to engage in some job application farming. Seriously, you all fucking voted number...
Got him.
Anime of the... You people cannot be serious.
And this is season one.
Yeah. That has been discussed. It was a mess. It was stupid. Ugh, yeah. Just...
Watch
better shows.
Yeah, you know it's bad when the British version is better than this, and that one's called Sister Leveling. No, really, yeah, they put made a parody of how he's so hot is you get it, incest.
I mean, this is probably the same kind of people who think, like, I don't know, slice of life animes are mid. Like Jax in episode 5. I don't want to hear it, man. You probably voted for this shit at the Crunchyroll Anime Awards, you fucking purple button piece of shit.
Clears
everything that you're into. Witch Watch clears everything that you're into. I haven't even seen Rock as a Lady's Modesty yet, and I'm pretty sure that also clears whatever you're into.
It does. It's also very, very erotic.
Oh, fuck yeah, I'm in. Maybe that'll be the antidote to this bullshit, but... Eh. I will force myself through the rest eventually. But, now, that's all of that. So we have to move right along to the rest of the usual business. That, of course, starts with the new song discussion for the past week. Well, past couple of weeks, because we finally have a decent log to sort through. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for new albums. Slight spoiler alert, I only just learned today that apparently there was a new Muse song that came out in the past week. I feel like I probably would have ignored it anyways.
I heard it, and it's okay at best, and there was also 8-string guitar riff, so good job, Matt. You have written Baby's first 8-string gentcore song.
They're, who knows, one day they might catch up and be like a sort of okay Deftones cover band. Anyway, let's actually start here proper. So, we have new material here, courtesy of the singer and producer Nourished by Time. Looks like they have a new album scheduled for August 22nd, titled The Passionate Ones. Apparently there was already a single before this that I missed, but we didn't miss this one. So I finally got my finger on the thing here. The song is called 9 to 5, as in the numbers, but it could also be a pun on the phrase 9 to 5. I mean, that is kind of like a recurring point in the lyrics, that it's basically about a guy trying to find like the will and energy to actually make art while also rubbing up against the grind of a fucking 9 to 5 work shift all the time. And as for the beat itself, it kind of has, like, a really nice, like, sort of duality going on, because you have, like, a kind of very, like, danceable rhythm section here, so you have, like, you know, thumping kicks, hi-hat grooves, and the kind of syncopated piano chords that you expect from, like, I forget if it's Italo House or Italo Disco. Either way, Italo something. You know the ones. And it's kind of also mixed in
Disco.
I think so, yeah. But it's also mixed in with a lot of, like, weird, warbled, spacey kind of synthesizers that definitely give it a unique flavor when you're grooving along to all of it. So, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, this sounds nice. I kind of dug it. That's all I got.
All right, so now let's move on to the next track here. So, this is the first time proper that I'm bringing up this particular duo in a weekly episode tracklist thing. I've talked about them on the roundups before, but now I'm bringing them in proper. So there's been a rap duo that's been bubbling up through the internet in the past couple of years, mainly through places like TikTok, Joey Valance and Bray. They have a particular focus on kind of punk rap with some nerdcore tinges there, essentially sounding like a far more cornball version of something like the Beastie Boys. I feel like I should be ashamed to admit that I really enjoy listening to their music, but you know what? If Crash Thompson can publicly give them props, then so can I, goddammit. Also, fun fact, at Anime Boston, when I went to this AMV showcase, they actually had a Joey Valance and Bray AMV set to footage of Dawn to Dawn. That made me smile. But, Yeah, they have a new single here called What's Up, and fitting their general style, we have a guest feature here by a man who definitely knows a thing or two about cornballs, JPEG Mafia, which is probably a very, very odd combination considering, you know, just how hard-edged Peggy can be and how fucking dweeby these two guys are. I mean, hell, I like, this is very much like, you know, a sort of rowdy, kind of get-the-club-hype type of thing, and the lyrics are about what you would expect, you know, pump the crowd up, but also, like, dorky brags, like, I feel like Gumby because all I see is green. I hear your drum beats, all you are is a midi-me. Again, aggressively cornball. But you know what? I don't give a shit. I smile at stupid shit like this. It made me smile. I got hyped listening to it. I had fun with this.
Yeah, they're dorks, but in a good earnest way. It's like, you know what, y'all dorky, but like, I can probably, you know, I can probably dig this a bit. Like, it just got, that punk rap style that. You know, you say, you know, guy from Beastie Boys, but yeah, this one's like, I could probably check in their work, because I know these about, you know, the album that released like last year, but yeah.
And now that that's out of the way, we can move into the territory of more respectable rap artists that we probably don't have to go get, so defensive about. So let me see what's up here on the docket. Oh, hey, look at that. It's Boldy James. We haven't heard from him in, 2 minutes?
I don't know. So far this month, I ain't heard shit from him. So who knows? I guess he put two projects last month. Now took a break, but well, we might have another project considering. Well, he teamed up once again with Nicholas Craven.
Oh, hey, I haven't heard from him in, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, because they're probably working on their project together, and the thing is, it's the second single that's out now. They had another single, like, a couple of weeks ago that we sort of missed, that they checked out. It was pretty good. This one we got is called Nice Try, Wrong Guy, which, okay. Okay, and I was looking for the song, The beat got this kind of low key jazzy feel, like, okay, it sounds smooth. It sounds like, okay, this is some metal shit going on. And of course you got these lyrics about, you know, loyalty, where he says, where's your loyalty lie? With those I know the morals are high, and if I have more money than money can buy, I strive on God. I'm not the type to be ducking or hiding, but my life in that man's hands, he just be deciding, we'll trust it to a nigga that he knows his love, he'll think to kill him. Loyalty. That's something that, to me, that I feel like will be a recurring theme in something.
Foreshadowing is a literary device in which... Oh, sorry, I can't linger on that too much. I can't just be quoting H. Bomber Guy all the time. Actually, I very well could, but don't test me. So, let's move on to the next track here. Oh, hey, look, it's The Alchemist. We haven't heard from him in, like, 12 minutes, 47 seconds.
Yeah, and he was somebody that I never thought would happen, or never thought would happen, or never thought about. That is Erykah Badu. Yeah, that Erykah Badu. Okay, apparently... They put out an album we call Abby and Alan, which, okay. And the song is called Next to You. Okay. I have another song that's like, this is a beat I heard before, because I know it was an old beat he did for Mobb Deep, because I recognize the sound. And but this thing was like, oh, that's pretty nice. I can sort of dig it. I can sort of, like, you know what? I can definitely fuck with this track, like, sweet. I kind of the sync is nice. The production's great. I mean, the production is what I heard from before, but yeah, it's pretty nice. Pretty nice. I could definitely dig it. And then I heard something that's like, oh no.
Yeah, the video.
Yeah, the video.
What happened with the video?
Well, have you watched Last Week Tonight from Sunday?
Yeah, that was like, what, he had the report about AI slop or something?
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Oh, no.
It happened. It happened.
Wow.
Man.
I thought you were better than this.
That's what I thought, too. And, it's like... We can tell the shit is AI. We can tell the shit is AI because everything just looks very crumbled. And like, I know you're trying to be cute and all, but this shit is like, oh man, this you don't fuck my vibe up. I was digging the song, and then,
God damn it.
That's my fault in a nutshell. It's like, the song is great. I just hate this. Like, damn it.
It's a bad vibe.
The worst vibes. But let's improve the vibes somewhat. So, moving on to the next track here. As we all know, The Armed are getting ready to release a new album this year at the beginning of August. Literally, August 1st. Titled, The Future Is Here and Everything Needs to Be Destroyed. A sentiment that grows more and more true with each passing hour.
Hour? No. Every passing minute.
Right. My math is off here. But we have the second single from the album here, Kingbreaker. And similar to the debut single that we got, this is another sort of short and sweet 2-ish minute banger. With the mix focusing on this very saturated kind of bass lick. Tongues of a very twangy and loud Metz style guitars, noise, rapid upbeat drum rhythms, and of course, a whole lot of discordant blaring saxophones, which I get the sense that like the atonal sax just blasting in your like ears and stuff has got to be like the signature musical motif of this record. And of course, the vocal dynamic is twofold, with the usual serene, clean vocals from who the fuck knows what his name is at this point. Is it Tony Walski? Is it Dan Green? No relation. I don't even know. And then, of course, on the other side, the aggressive shouts and screams from Kara Drolshagen. That name I at least do know, assuming it actually is her and not a Kara Drolshagen stunt double, because who knows how much other... Like, how many other people are in this grand, strange collective of a band? But, yeah, this shit absolutely fucking rips and tears simultaneously. Especially that really sick halftime groove about partway through. So, this might actually win me back over after I was, kind of cold on their last record.
Yeah, it's a bit more straightforward in their style of noise punk, emphasis on noise. And yeah, that's all I got. It's short and sweet and to the point. And yeah, great fitting in for an album too. That's how we're all feeling right now with every passing second, really.
Yeah. Although that it's still neck and neck as far as like probably my favorite album title of the year, because moving on to the next track here,
we have another
single by Clips.
Oh yes, the one everyone been talking about the past week. Second single's titled "So Be It," and there is so much to say about this track, especially regarding one certain rapper on there. So got this, you know, this very, you know, Arabic sample, which I think goes in reverse. I think goes in reverse or something, because like when I hear like, it's not the good old days. It's like the good old days when people usually sample Arabic songs and then twist them in some way, And of course, the rich lifestyles and you know one rappers that they wouldn't mind getting the beef into. Let me get the Normalis first, because I want to get his. His impression out of the way first. Like his first girl, like being quiet ain't right. You ain't Paris, blow money, old money. You ain't balanced. You ain't believe God did. You ain't Khaled, all black, back to back. This ain't traffic. can maybe have about that. And then I realized when he said, "Ain't no more Neptune's, no Pete, so Pete Saturn, all the other person give they re-up." I think that's him saying, like, you know, Neptune's are no more, just for real. Just so you know, because since them two had fallen out. And then we get the Pusha T's verse. We get the Pusha T's fourth verse, which goes, and I quote, "You cried in front of me. You died in front of me. Cubs took your patience and your pride in front of me. Your utopia had her move up to the street and the group was popping. She ain't need you to eat. Not gonna call it. The way they see it when they get the view, I can share it. AE it. Wouldn't believe it. But I can't see it. Look at it in TMZ it. So be it." And guess what he's talking about? Yeah, Travis Scott. Jack. Yep, Travis Scott. And if you want, and if you're wondering, why got beef with him all of a sudden? Well, here's the thing that he did explain. Just around 2013. Well, no, 2023. I'll say it. Okay. Apparently, Pusha hanging with Pharrell in Paris. So Travis Scott comes in, and Travis plays his album Utopia at the Louis Vuitton headquarters. Here's the thing. They play the song Meltdown, and it goes real fun. Oh, okay, all right, it's kind of cool. Here's the thing that Travis didn't bring up. Meltdown, the song that had that Drake verse. The one where he disses both Pusha and Pharrell, talking about him melting his chains. He didn't play that part. He didn't play that part. He just was like, what the fuck did you rap? What the fuck got this nigga on? You can't rap about me? Like, for real, he's unbothered. Like, he seems like, okay. Pusha being like, oh, this motherfucker again. And of course, it did go on saying how Travis not a very loyal person. Like, because the more you think about it, like he had Drake on his albums, like, you know, apparently on Sicko Mode, he kind of dissed Kanye West, which, whatever, okay. And of course, Meltdown, he dissed Pusha and Pharrell. But the thing is, Travis also appeared on Future Metro Boomin's, we Don't Trust You last year, basically picking a side like, it's like, he knows the loyalty. He don't pick. He's like, yeah, I'm with these guys. He's basically fair weather.
He's playing both sides so that he can come out on top. Is what he's doing.
That's the bitch.
Yes, that part. That's that part. That part. And the way this spreads, this is some juicy shit. Speaking of which, hip hop TikTok, or some of you fetuses who know nothing about clips, can't come see irrelevant considering he's been doing this shit before you were born. I remember grinding. I remember being, what happened to that boy? Mr. Me Too. Have y'all like, fucking five when that shit came along. You talk about he irrelevant. You little bitch.
Man, some kids just really gotta, like, not mouth up. Like, let me put it like this. If you weren't at the middle school lunch table banging out that one clips beat, you know the one, I don't want to hear your opinions about anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Also grinding. Why did I mention grinding? I should have mentioned grinding. That's the first one I should have mentioned. but you know how you said we need something to shake up the pop charts. I don't know what happened or not, but I wish for this to shake up the pop charts, because something like this needs to happen again.
Yeah, and I'll just say, if WrestleMania is any indication, if Travis is going to respond, he's going to take a real long time to walk down, look menacing, and then probably get his shit kicked in.
Well, you know what I have to say to that? Let God sort it out. God, this shit could not go any harder if it tried. I mean, the only thing I could really have to add to all this is that when I was listening to the beat, I was like, oh, so this is what it would sound like if Scott Storch didn't suck ass.
Yeah.
You're telling me we could have had this instead of whatever the fuck Storch thought passed for beats in the 2000s.
Ugh.
Good on you, Pharrell. You're really bringing your A game on this.
Yeah. You're really shining up to be. You're really shining this year. I mean, you had one misstep, but this is pretty good.
Yeah. So again, looking forward to it. July 11th. It's gonna be a fun weekend.
Yeah.
But now we move on to the final topic we have here. So the last time we heard from prog metal stalwarts Between the Buried and Me was with the release of the album Colors 2 in 2021. Naturally, as expected, they, you know, hit the ground with a whole bunch of touring cycles. Some for the album itself, there was some anniversary stuff for Parallax 2, which I sort of wished I could see. I say sort of for two reasons. On the positive end, that is high key my favorite Between the Buried and Me album. The stuff that gives me hesitation is that there was kind of a dark period going on between then and now, because longtime guitarist Dusty Waring had several allegations of sexual assault lobbied against him, which ultimately led the band to dropping him from the lineup before the year 2023 was over, followed soon by Waring threatening legal actions against the band. Good luck with that, bastard. I mean, I guess it must not have gone anywhere because the band is still obviously going, you know, with their activities. Right at the moment, they are a four-piece with Paul Wagner doing double duties on guitars. And we have a new album on the horizon. It's coming out September 12th called The Blue Nowhere. And it also marks the group's debut on the label Inside Out Music.
Oh, hey, with every other prog band in the world. Cool. Although at the same time, thank God they're gone from Sumerian.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Sumerian fucked up the rollout of Automata so bad by making it a double album and splitting it up between like what, a year or something. That killed a lot of momentum.
Not even I thought it was like 6 months apart. Hang on, I am going to look it up. Right now, Automata 1, that was March 2018. Automata 2 was July 2018.
Okay, it felt longer than that.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Again, really couldn't have been just one whole record. What the anyway. So, yeah, at least they're out of two hell holes. And, you know, given Inside Out's reputation for prog, maybe they'll get treated better there. But yeah, Blue Nowhere, September 12th. We actually have the lead single here as well. Things We Tell Ourselves in the Dark. From the jump, this one automatically just immediately goes into flexing their proggier side. The song kind of has, like, this sort of very dense, semi-funk-oriented kind of groove. There's a lot of, like, these fun, playful, proggy synth keys, punctuated by sudden blasts in a few spots. Of course, like, even for when it's not being overtly metal, it's still, like, getting to flex the drum chops all over the place. Jesus Christ, I will never fully get how Blake Richardson's mind works. About, like, 3 minutes just shy of that, that's definitely when some of the more familiar, like, metalcore tinges of their sound start to take over the fold. You hear more of, like, chuggier, distorted guitar riffs, noodling leads, and a lot more of the, you know, Tommy Rogers' unclean vocal deliveries and screams and such. As it's bouncing back and forth between that, eventually we do get, like, about 4 minutes, 30 seconds in, where there's like a sort of drum and bass groove taking center focus, which does lead into, again, some funkier guitar licks, but then sort of more towards the back half, you get more of that aggro heaviness that is as familiar territory for the band that, you know, if you were ever into them from the beginning, you know that style. And like, it is definitely, a lot of it is comfortable territory for them. I don't mind the song, but it does feel like it's one of the BT BAM songs of all time.
Well, from what I understand, this is not going to be some kind of grand, you know, concept album, no interconnecting, you know, saga. It's just it's basically album-oriented rock, but done in modern prog metal stylings. And in that context, I kind of dig this. It's not super abrasive. It does get a little heavy, but it does have a bit of a bounce to it, a bit of a funk bounce. You know, I'm always in for venturing out into different styles. And hey, at least now I know I can go back to this band with a clear conscience. So yay, good job, everybody. Good job.
Yeah, I mean, I still am curious about it because this is only the opening track of the record, a record that's apparently. Let me see if I can run the math here. So like an hour 11 minutes.
About that, yeah.
And of course, we have I'm literally looking at the Wikipedia page. We have like three tracks that are over 10 minutes long. Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, should be a good time.
Yeah, so just look out for that in September. That about does it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break and when we come back, we have a little bit of news. So stay tuned. And we're back. Now we're going to move on to the news. So, what's the first thing we have on the docket?
Let's see. It's something special we got here. It is called Why People Ruin Everything, Music Edition.
Oh, God, again? I'm tired of this shit, Grandpa.
Well, that's too damn bad.
You keep digging.
What did the white people do this time?
Well, this has something to do with next year's Grammys. Well, there's been some changes in mostly the country album category, as in they now divide the two awards. The original category is now called Best Contemporary Country Album, and a new one, Best Traditional Country Album. Gee, I wonder why they decided to do this now.
I wonder why. Say, who won the Best Country Album at this year's Grammy Awards?
Let's see. Let me check my phone and... oh, wait! I gotta check. I know who won. It was Beyonce with Cowboy Carter.
There it is.
Yeah, like, I'm like, you gonna split it up because... You gonna split it because, well... Y'all know apparently some motherfuckers will mention about this ain't a real country album, but shut the fuck, like all this bullshit, like it's like really, you really gonna change the rules now just because one black woman won an award in a genre that well black people have been in anyway. I mean, we've been in most of everything. I mean, surprised we've been in ska. Or in sky, I don't know. You might have been in sky, I don't know.
Harvey Mason Jr. managed to say something about this in a press release, saying this and a couple other changes to the field, namely in the creation of Best Album Cover, because I guess Brat winning Best Recording Package shook some people up a little bit. Whatever, but Harvey Mason Jr. said this, quote, "The result of listening carefully to Recording Academy members to make sure our rules and guidelines reflect today's music. Y'all aren't even trying to hide it."
My God, this, like, it's always something with these nominees. Like, the rules, they almost seem like they really do just, like, change it out of spite. Like, okay, we're going to have these sort of rules to prevent this sort of outcome from happening. Outcome happens anyway. Oh, shit, we got to change the rules so that way that outcome doesn't happen. That outcome happens anyway. And it's just like, God. And that's even assuming that the fucking Recording Academy actually listens to any of these albums in the first place. Because, like, Y'all remember when it came out last year that, like, most of the voting committee for the Academy Awards doesn't even actually fully watch the movies all the way through before making any fucking decisions? Who's to say they're the only ones doing that? Yeah.
I say I'm shocked at that, but not really me on the Academy Award, on Oscar thing, but here, this figure seems like it, and since we're on the best album cover, it's just the now do sisters, that's now a thing, and considering that's where the Carter, that's where the Carpenter album's coming out, with that album cover, which I wonder if that might sneak in.
The only correct take about all the Sabrina Carpenter discourse, if I may quote a Mr. Charlie Dompler, is that supposed to scare me? I've seen way worse stuff than that on the internet. God damn, y'all are sheltered.
Once again, give Spinal Tap their due. They came up with it first. It's called Smell the Glove, and it's art, people!
Indeed.
Oh, and also, Elsewhere Best New Artist is really expanded. Like, through the records nominated for Album of the Year will be eligible for Best New Artist in the future, which, with some exceptions, this is gonna be confusing.
I guess it's baby steps, because, like, this is an industry that still thinks Best New Artist means new to the Academy. They still haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, it's true.
Fucking stupid. But, the next Grammy Awards are February 1st, 2026. The nominees get announced on November 7th of this year. So we got plenty of time to figure out how they're going to fucking shoot themselves in the foot yet again.
And
it'll be the last time CBS has it, thank God.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll see how many nominations that Gene Nix gets.
All of them. We will accept nothing less.
Put them on Best Country Album! Put them on Best Country Album! The Best Country Album, Gene Nix! Best Alternative Album, Gene Nix!
Best Gospel New Album!
Best New Age Album!
Best Children's Album!
I think we gotta move on before we fucking just crash out laughing and pass out. But
we might do that more.
Yeah, let's move on to the next topic, which consists. Oh my god, it's about fucking Drake again.
Yeah. look how it starts out. Drake is a loser in more ways than one.
How could it get any fucking worse? We had the Super Bowl. We had the fucking, what was it? The whole ongoing Universal Music Group lawsuit. There was the fact that Kendrick and SZA rolled through Toronto, performed Not Like Us, and got a 2-minute standing ovation. How much more humiliating could it get for this one man? Good lord,
He did walk out with Morgan Wallen at one of his concerts in Houston recently.
Oh my god, Drake, do you have no sense of shame anymore?
Apparently he doesn't.
Also, does not have any money.
Oh, right, yeah, that was a whole ongoing saga. So, it's been a known thing, like, in the past few months, pretty much ever since he signed that deal with Universal, that he's been making a lot of questionable investments and a lot of gambling. Just so much gambling. Perhaps most prominently, the fact that he's got an endorsement deal with the gambling platform Stake, who said they were paying him up to $100 million annually. But, that apparently hasn't stopped him, because the other day, he posted on Instagram, and that's how most lulzworthy stories start, right? Drake posted to Instagram, because, you know, that led to the vegan cookie recipe, and a whole lot of people learning about the concept of NTR hentai. You all thought I forgot about that. But he posted his financials in terms of all his gambling, and apparently he also has fucking money put down on Fortnite the game. Oh my god, how much more user can you
really?
So let's look at the math here. So but for the week, he wagered over $50 million, profit of just under -$6 million. Fortnite wagered $75 million, profit of again just under -$6 million.
Wow.
And his monthly wagers, overall $124.5 million, and a profit of -$8.2 million. And of course, oh my god, there's a fucking caption on the post too.
Yep.
Gotta share the other side of gambling. Losses are so fried right now. I hope I can post a big win for you all soon, because I'm the only one that has never seen a max. These guys max once a week.
Wow. This reboot of Leaving Las Vegas kind of suck.
Drake, do you have a humiliation fetish? Are you one of those guys? Is that what's going on right now?
Now, I'm no financial expert here, but say that I have $10. I spend that $10 on a lottery ticket or whatever. If I don't get that money back, I'm out $10. How the fuck are you down $8 million of your initial wager? How do you lose that much?
Good lord, that's just... this dude... This is a special kind of broke, like... I know I'm the math guy, but gambling math, like, you know, that type of stuff, just... How much are you... we obviously see the math right here, but still just... How? Like, at a certain point, you gotta know when to hold them and when to fold them. Assuming that's the kind of gambling you're even doing in the first place. Are you playing the big bright slot machines? Are you fucking playing the craps table? God, this is...
Are you playing blackjack? Do you have hookers with you? Probably. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think he can even afford to pay the fucking hookers at this point.
Well, apparently, I'm reading this from Billboard... he bet over $1 million on the Toronto Maple Leafs to win their series against the Florida Panthers. They didn't. No. He bet $750,000 on a cricket match. He lost that.
Damn.
There's a reason why a lot of sports betting commercials have little disclaimers on them. Get this guy some help. For fuck's sake, get this guy some help.
Okay, I don't know how else to introduce this joke, but, like, what this reminds me of, there's an account I follow on, like, YouTube and TikTok, where it's this guy who does really stupid, funny animations through the 3DS Flipnote app.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
So you can probably see where I'm going with this. Let's go gambling! Aw, dang it.
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 You know what? I'm going to have to make that the thumbnail for this week. It's too perfect. Good lord, man.
Man, you know, I was going to press about my debt, and then I realized it could be so much worse. It could be Drake.
Yeah, it could, in fact, be so severe.
At least I don't owe $8 million.
Ugh.
But, fuck.
How much worse could it even get at this point? Who fucking knows?
Don't worry. We have the Kendrick feature on the Clips album to look forward to. We're just a couple weeks away from that. Is there one more bullet in the chamber? All signs point to maybe, yeah.
Oh man, it's gotta be beautiful.
Sass points to what do you think?
Seriously, Drake, I've seen McDonald's ice cream machines that weren't this broke. Anyway, We'll keep an eye out on that for more laughs. But yeah, that about does it for the news. So we have one more thing to discuss, and that is, of course, the new album releases for the week of June 27th, 2025. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from metal act Heaven Shall Burn with Hey Matt. From Japanese noise act Merzbow, we have their new album Sidonis. From Maddie Matheson's hardcore band Pigpen, their debut album Mental Madness. From Kevin Abstract, we have his new album Blush, assuming you haven't already heard the leaked demos on Discord. From a collection of various artists, we have the soundtrack for the upcoming film F1. We have Hotel Rock Bottom, the debut studio album from Frankie Grande, who, yes, I believe is the half-brother of Ariana Grande. And if you're really deep into your Nickelodeon sitcom lore, is the man who played Frankini in Henry Danger, which, yes, is the long-rumored psychotic older brother of Cad Valentine from Victorious.
Okay.
I just feel like those of you who watch that show way too much and understand that running joke need to know how deep the lore goes. But last, but certainly not least, we have the newest album from Lorde with Virgin. So now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can you be found on the internet?
The usual places, as always. The Discord, other Discords, my other show, the Blue Place, you know, when I tend to pop up because it's really hot. And I'm just going to stay inside when I don't have to work and just not melt, because melting is bad for you.
Yes. Yes, it is. Mark, what about you?
Of course, my Blue Sky, where I'm still doing that Lazarus, the weekly thread thing, which, yes, folks, I still like it. Don't like it. Come at me, bitch. And, of course, my site, hyper1hyperdivorce.com, where, of course, now is the debut of my new story series, Welcome to Zone America. And, of course, the anime season ending, so, yeah, expect the time of the season, spring wrap-up to come soon. Yeah, expect one show to end up being my favorite. And if you, and yes, it's that one. Am I doing with this? Well, maybe good. I don't know.
Ah, yes. I can't wait for your positive words on Windbreaker Season 2. And then 2 weeks later, Rob was found dead in his bedroom.
With the main outfit.
Oh, God, come on! Listen, it's okay. As long as he doesn't bring the corn as well. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky and other places at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@cerebresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow this website on Blue Sky at Surreal Resolution. Visit the site itself, surrealresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast ONA, all of that good stuff. And of course, be sure to find the link to our Discord server on the site there, so you can jump in, converse about all sorts of many things with your homies, all of that stuff, and of course, you'll be immediately notified whenever anything new goes up on the site. Thank you for tuning in. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the weekly hijinks and shenanigans, and until then, how come I'm only now finding out that 28 years later had zombie schlong?
Oh damn.